we have the one and only Seth Greenberg to tell you everything you need to know about the upcoming
This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
But I'm glad to be with you today. And we're having a tournament, man. I mean, it's exciting. I mean, and I think we're going to have a great tournament because I think the matchups that were created by the committee are interesting, intriguing. I think that as I look at the committee, maybe Oklahoma State should have been a 3. I don't know where BYU was a 6. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything. We're having March Madness. We've gotten through championship week. We've taken a step forward. And, the games are going to start tomorrow. So it's exciting.
Seth, let's go through. We talked to Jordan earlier who had talked to some coaches yesterday about just kind of this period of
Michael Jordan?
And isolation for their teams. No, Jordan Cornette, not Michael Jordan, but thanks. You know, Jordan Cornette, he had the cocktail sauce fame. The idea of these teams having to wait at least a day or two before they get to any kind of normalcy with practices and that kind of thing. How tough a spot is that for coaches? And what's the key here for a team? Obviously, older players could handle it better than younger teams, I'm guessing.
Yeah, without a doubt. They've been in quarantine in one way or another all season long, so I don't think this is all that abnormal for them. They got their own room. I'm sure that they're going to have some type of communication in terms of Zoom calls with the coaching staffs regarding personnel and scouting reports. They're going to probably have some video to watch on their own in terms of their play. If I was coaching this tournament today, I would have my video guys send every one of my players his best plays of the season, and I'd break it down into playmaking, shot making, competitive plays, defensive plays. I would reinforce everything they did well. I would also have a hype tape of what our team did well. So I'd be filling them up with stuff that, you know, guys are going to their phones, guys are going to their laptops, guys are going to their iPads. I would be filling them up with different things to kind of create a mindset of, man, that was a fun season. Man, did I play well? Man, are we a good team? So I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think you'll see a lot of Zoom meetings in that 24-hour period in terms of preparation. So it is difficult, but it's kind of the life that they've lived for the last year, and for sure during the course of the season. But I think now you're going to kick it up a notch with kind of getting them mentally and emotionally prepared and making them feel good about themselves. What's better than watching like a 30-minute tape of you playing well and doing good things and your team celebrating winning and your team competing at a high level. So I would expect that's going on just to kind of get them through that quarantine period.
Seth, before we ask you about specific ACC teams, I want to go backwards a second. What did you learn from the crazy, awesome conference tournaments, which a lot of folks said, oh, we shouldn't have them. I thought the conference tournaments across the country were sensational in terms of games, outcomes, upsets, surprises, game-winning shots, controversy. I mean, you name it, it delivered. So what did you learn from college basketball from the conference tournaments before we get to March Madness?
Well, Pack, I agree with everything you just said. I thought championship week was as good a championship week as we've had in a long, long time. To me, my favorite two moments of championship week were Georgetown and Pat Ewing going from a team that turned it over 21 times of possession a game to, or excuse me, 21% of possessions to winning a championship. And then Jose Alvarado and the pure emotion and the joy. What I learned was that we're going to have an NCAA tournament that's going to look a lot like championship week. I think we're going to have an NCAA tournament where all of a sudden there's going to be teams, especially in the first two rounds, that are going to rear their heads and find a way to win games, that are going to play with confidence and a joy and a passion and an energy. And, there's a great pressure on the lower seed. That's just the way it is. But I think this season you eliminate Baylor, Gonzaga, Illinois right now, and you get into those 3 to 10 lines, man, anyone can win. Anyone can win. And we saw that right in our conference tournaments. And that's the compelling thing to me. Who are going to be those teams? What teams are going to emerge? Just kind of in a big picture, think about Syracuse was out. They played their way in. Illinois was stumbled early in the season, their number one seed. Michigan was unbeatable And now all of a sudden, you know, you lose Isaiah Livers, you lose a couple games, there are question marks. Baylor comes out of a pause. So there are so many different storylines across the country. And then the biggest storyline is going to be, quite honestly, you got two teams in Gonzaga's bracket, in Virginia and Kansas, that are coming off pauses. You don't know when, we know when Kansas is going to get there. We don't know who's going to play or who's going to be eligible to play. I heard Wilson probably definitely not for the second round. David McCormick's going to be there. They're hoping he can get cleared. Virginia, who knows? They're flying on Friday. And think about Virginia's journey. They're in quarantine. Right. Now, the feedback I'm getting is this is real quarantine. In that county, it's real quarantine. They're not getting up shots by themselves. They're not getting in the gym and running individually. They are in lockdown. So they're in quarantine. They're going to land in Indianapolis. They've got to have two negative tests. They can't leave their room until they get those two negative tests. And then they're going to go play a game. Now, basketball is a game of being connected. Basketball is a game of trust. Basketball is a game of instinct and feel. Well, how do you do that? How do you develop that? You do it by doing repetition over and over and over again. And they're playing against an Ohio U team with Jason Preston, who's really, really a good player. I mean, he's a PhD in ball screen offense. I mean, you got to say he had 31 against Illinois in a two-point loss. So I think that's kind of the X factor. We saw what happened with Georgia Tech. They got a player that's hurt. Now, look, there are two players that Georgia Tech can't play without, Jose Alvarado and Moses Wright. If either one of those guys goes down with a virus, there's a serious problem in terms of what a magical year they've had and how much fun was it to watch them play and how hard they played and the joy that they played with and how they totally disrupted Florida State and everyone else along the way to win an ACC championship. So I think the other opponent is not just your team. The other opponent is the virus and the testing.
All right. Seth, I want to go back to tournament experience level from this standpoint, and Pac's heard me talk about this now for the third day. Too many times we go and watch these NCAA tournament games where you've got a team that's defensive-driven like Clemson. But the challenge of being defensive-driven in one sense, when you get to this event, I see way too many teams show up on the NCAA tournament stage and can't shoot it all of a sudden. Low scoring starts, sluggish starts, turnovers, things of that nature. How big a concern, given where we are, is watching the ball go in the basket?
Well, you know, Wes, it's a big concern, especially for Clemson. Let's face it. I mean, the old joke, it's a make and miss game. You know Clemson's going to defend. The key for Clemson is can they turn people over and get offense out of the defense? That's going to be their whole key. Because, you know, look, they're not a great offensive team. They have difficult pieces. Amir Sims creates a problem in terms of matchups, but they're playing a very good defensive team. And they're playing a team that has maybe more offensive weapons, more guys that can just flat score it and make plays. Now, they haven't shot it well, Rutgers, but Ron Harper is a tough matchup. Jacob Young is a tough matchup. Miles Johnson protects the rim. It's almost like looking in the mirror. I do think, quite honestly, that Rutgers has more offensive pieces, but we've seen on any given night this Clemson team – make shots. So I think that's a fascinating matchup. Can Clemson turn Rutgers over? Really, that's what it's going to come down to, because they've got to get some offense out of the defense. I mean, they've been turning up people over about 20% of their possessions. They got to get some deflections. They got to be really active. And they got to have longer possessions offensively. I think that they can't run and play ahead of the defense. They got to get longer possessions offensively, because I think they almost have to, in a lot of ways, if they can't turn you over, they got to shrink that game a little bit.
Let me ask you about the other ACC 7-10 matchup, and that starts things off. Can we have the clock on real quick? How many hours till we tip this thing off at Virginia Tech and Florida? Just got to get the clock on here real quick.
Look at this, Seth.
Hold on a second. Look at this. Smart folks, we're 51
hours. Wow. Right across his face. Right across his face.
That's where we put it. We put it right over my face. Yeah. It's like the old AC/DC "Dirty Deeds Done Cheap" album cover, just right over your eyes. Can't see anything. So Virginia Tech is a 10 seed. Now I'm not going to go crazy on seeding. Yeah, I'm not going to go crazy on the seeding. The numbers, You got to go play. But I will tell you, on Sunday when I saw Virginia Tech pop up at a 10, I had immediate concerns for Syracuse and Louisville, thinking, man, if Virginia Tech's a 10, what in the world are we going to get across the board? But let's go to the game. Virginia Tech, Florida. Now, you just gave me the Clemson-Rutgers thing. These are coin toss games. What do you like about the Hokies against the Gators?
I like Lumen much. I mean, I like Radford's driving ability and getting to the rim. I like their toughness. I like Mike Young's preparation. I like Mike Young's physicality. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech might be the most physical team in the ACC. Virginia Tech might be the hardest playing team in the ACC. Virginia Tech might be the most difficult team to prepare for. Couture's knocking down jumpers. That drive Mutz made off the left side, that dunk, that was sick. You know, Kevin Luma, I mean, he's a tough matchup. They make just enough shots from the three to open up the floor so you can give guys room to drive it. They run great offense, and they might be the best screening team in the ACC. I like Virginia Tech in this game in a big way. I think that the toughness of them, their ability to defend with physicality, I think that what I call their bookend forwards are hard to deal with. And then the Radford kid just, like, you know he can't shoot it. That's okay. I'm 6'1". I'll go rebound it. Oh, that's okay. You advance pass it to me, and I'll just, like, drive it right down your throat. You're thinking shot block. I'm thinking nose job. I mean, I just love the DNA of this team. I think this is a very tough matchup for Florida.
The Radford kid, you know he can't shoot it, Pac.
Well, he was my unsung hero. Let's go back to our unsung hero list. I think he makes a difference now that he's back in that rotation for Mike Young. And I know BPI has Florida picked to win the game. That's the best news in the world for Hokie Nation. But, you know, it is what it is. But these 7-10 matchups, same thing with 6-11s. And Seth, you said it a second ago. You got to roll the ball out, man. That number beside your name doesn't mean squat. You got to go play.
That's it.
And once the tournament starts, man, I don't care what you are. I mean, it's almost like recruiting. Like, oh, I'm a 3-star. I'm a 4-star. I'm a 5-star. Hey, dude, I don't care what story you're in. The second you step on campus, dude, you can either play or can't play.
That's right. Because
you have to get it done in between the lines. So the numbers mean nothing. But Virginia Tech's toughness, they reflect Mike Young, Fork Union Military Academy, Fletcher Arrett, and the grind. That's what they reflect.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Our conversation continues with the one and only Seth Greenberg, getting you ready for March Madness. 51 hours away.
Okay. All right, I said going to break, I was going to ask you about this little exercise that occurs this time of year. And I've been around just enough coaches to know. Now, it's going to be different this year than it is in years past, so forgive me on that. But the day before the game, NCAA tournament media availability with the coach on the podium. More often, see, you're already smiling. And I know why you're smiling, because most coaches go to that media availability with an agenda, a story, an issue, a topic they want to share, whether it's their first tournament or their 30th tournament. Did you ever go to the NCAA tournament media availability, whether it was at South Florida, Long Beach State, Virginia Tech, wherever, with, hey, I don't know what's going to happen up here, and I don't know who's going to ask me questions, but I'm going to say blank.
I did that before every, quite honestly, not just in the NCAA tournament. I did that before every single post-game interview. I did that before every single day-before game interview. But, yeah, of course. And for the people, don't at me. Yes, I have been to the NCAA tournament. I know I was only there once at Virginia Tech, which is a little sore subject, but I took a couple teams at Long Beach State. So don't at me. I've been to the Final Four with Virginia, so please don't at me. I have actually experienced this. So
right.
I don't want anyone to say, you know, Wes, what a stupid question. That guy, he never won any games. So, you know, we're going to get that out of the way. But, yeah, I mean, like, what you do is you try to keep it as loose as possible. Like, first of all, you tell your players to enjoy it. You know, it's almost like the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why are you going to take it so seriously? I mean, you might as well enjoy it. So, you know, you'll probably try to have an anecdote about a certain player or a guy that you recruited or, you know, maybe someone you talked to, maybe a mentor that gave you advice. You answer anything but the question. And you surely don't do anything but just praise the other team. and how great they are, no matter what the question is. But you like the question is, you know, the question has no significance whatsoever because you have an agenda and you're going to have fun with it. Like I remember when I was at Long Beach, we played Illinois and we did our first interview over the phone, and all I talked about was the Chrome Dome versus the Lou Dome. You know, because I had the Chrome Dome and Lou had like the comb over. I said, this is going to be a classic matchup. I said, this is like, you know, this is a matchup of choices. Do I go with the Ludo later on in life or do I stay with the Chrome Dome? And people are like scratching their head, like going on, wait a second. Well, you know, and then, you know, you obviously you stroke the other coach, you stroke the other team and you tell some stories about your team, just fun stories. You don't answer any questions. It's just, you know, no, it's like hocus pocus.
That is my theory. If I was ever to be a coach, that is right. That is right. Chapter one, you ask me anything you want. I tell you nothing. I can give you a good story, but you're not going to get any information on my team. Zero. Don't ask me.
Or how we're playing or what we've done or the other team and what we're thinking of doing. Except, like, I'll tell you one thing. You know, their front court is really good. It's really good.
That's right.
I mean, those guards, they can really shoot it. I'll tell you one thing. Job so-and-so's done, spectacular. Seth, what about, how are you going to do so-and-so? How is so-and-so playing in the last three games? I'll tell you one thing. Hey, I'll tell you, this has been the greatest experience we've had all season long. I'll tell you, we got police escorts to the arena. I mean, accommodations, the hotel is unbelievable. Our guys are having a blast. Next question.
That's it.
There you go.
That's it. By the way, I'm going to put you on the spot. Which ACC team will have the furthest run in this tournament, and where go?
Well, let's go through it. Ooh. Georgia Tech, I mean, they're out. They're out. Syracuse can win their first game. I'm not sure about Clemson. I actually think Carolina. And it's not a very long trail. But it's not a very long here. I think Carolina will beat Wisconsin. I think Carolina beat Wisconsin. I mean, here's the thing. Carolina just doesn't turn it over, which the Pac line doesn't turn you over. They've played against Virginia, similar offense. Carolina doesn't turn over. They just get it on the rim. You know, they're going to be in pretty good shape. I mean, that's just the way it is. And actually, you know what? And I might go Virginia Tech, actually. I think it's going to be hard for the ACC to get at after the first round. I think it's going to be a rough run. The truth.
What about Florida State? You forget about them?
What about Florida State?
I'm sorry, on the other side of the bracket. I was only looking on one side of the bracket. Yeah, I actually think – my bad. Thank you, Pac. My bad. I think actually with Michigan out – Florida State's toughest game to make a deep run is LSU. Because with Livers out, that's a different Michigan team. If they can get by LSU, they can make a run to the Elite Eight or the Final Four. That was very good, Pac. I appreciate that. My mindset was that you were going to ask me about Wisconsin, and I didn't want to answer any questions. I wanted to act like I was in a press conference.
No. So the answer to the question on your behalf
is
Florida State, and you think Sweet 16-ish is what you're telling me.
I think actually Elite 8-ish.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think Elite 8-ish. And here's my thing. Florida State, it's very simple. In their losses, 18 turnovers, 19 points off of them. It's real simple. You've got to take care of the basketball. All right, but the path that they have, no one's a real changing defense team that they're going to play against, which is a really positive thing for Florida State. I mean, you're talking about Michigan's going to be a straight-up man-to-man team. LSU would be a straight-up man-to-man team. Texas is a straight-up man-to-man team. They've got the best route. Now, I would have said Virginia has a legitimate shot. All right, I mean, not a legitimate shot to go real deep, but a legitimate shot to advance. I don't know what Virginia is going to be. What do you do coming out of a quarantine? How ready can you be to play? How are you going to be connected defensively? How alert can you be off the ball? Your ball screen defense is not the two guys in the ball screen. It's the other three guys away from the ball screen. Well, Ohio University is going to run 40% to 50% of their offense out of ball screens. I mean, they're the biggest question of anyone. Like, I could see all the other teams win a first-round game. Florida State's just different. I mean, I was disappointed in Florida State in the championship game. I was disappointed when, you know, in games that they lost, they gave up leads. They didn't take care of the basketball. And that's my only concern. Koprivica's playing at a high level. Raquan's playing at a high level. I'd like to see Scotty Barnes be a little bit more assertive. Yes, sir. Your hands up.
Here's a question, Coach. I just want to make sure that I heard you. You believe there will be one ACC team in the Sweet 16?
Yes.
Wes, you like that or not? You think that's a low number, Wes? Just asking you. Because I think that's a low number.
I do. I mean, I think I'll take the brakes off a little bit and say, you know, look, Virginia Tech to me, if Virginia Tech beats Florida, which I think they will, Seth, I know Ohio State's really good. But
yeah, they're really good. And that's a bad matchup for Virginia Tech. And I'll tell you why it's a bad matchup for Virginia Tech.
Because of the size?
Because of Liddell? It's like looking in a mirror. All right, they've got bigs that can guard on the floor. They've got, you know, E.J. Liddell is a good matchup for Luma. You're talking about whether it's Kyle Young is a good matchup for Mutz. You're talking about perimeter guys that are similar but better shot makers and better scorers. You're talking about Justin Suing's kind of like a Swiss Army knife. They keep you in front. They contest shots. They're extremely physical. They got a number of different guys on any given night that can score it. They're extremely disciplined. Ohio State is a tough matchup for Virginia Tech. If it was someone else, I might have moved Virginia Tech. I love Virginia Tech's toughness. I love the job Mike's done. That is not an ideal matchup because that is a very similar team, but with a little bit more talent.
Hey, Seth.
All right. Now, here's the other school I want to offer up.
Wait a minute. For argument, we're playing the what-if game. If Clemson beats Rutgers, you don't think they can beat Houston?
Similar team, both defensively, more playmakers, similar guard play. I think Houston's a little bit – I have Rutgers beating Houston. So, I mean, I guess they could. They also could get stuck on 50.
Yeah.
But they could also get stuck on 50. And I'll tell you one thing. Houston's an elite defensive team. They're an elite offensive rebounding team. Mm. Quentin Grimes is a big physical guard. They remind me of Houston, just to give you a picture, because we haven't seen them as much. But if you've seen Baylor, you see basically Houston is Baylor 1.0. Good guard play, really physical, really athletic.
I saw Houston play Wichita State. That's who I saw him play.
Yeah. And they also – you might want to watch the game against Texas Tech because they just whooped up on Texas Tech.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Okay, we'll see where it goes. I'm writing this down in ink. One ACC team in the Sweet 16.
I want to give – okay. Look, we all know Virginia's been dealt an interesting hand to play here, right? They're going to fly in. It's like the old NBA Midwest division, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to go in the thick of the night and they're going to play the noon game or whatever the case may be. If Virginia gets by Ohio, Seth, and we don't know who the player is that's not going to play. All we know is he played in the game in the ACC tournament. I like them against – if they could beat Ohio, I like them to beat either UCSB or Creighton. I like them to win the next round. I like Virginia to win at least two games.
Here's the thing. I can't advance Virginia because I really don't even know, number one, if they're going to play. Number two, I don't know. I don't know if they've done anything. Like Virginia Creighton would be interesting because you're talking about a pack line against a free flowing offense that plays at a really fast pace. UCSB's got ACC size. UCSB top 25 offense defense efficiency. UCSB is a good. You know, Ja'Cory McLaughlin is a really really good guard. You know, they're a well-coached team with offensive efficiency. Creighton's like the X factor, because I think Creighton's really dangerous. I just can't advance Virginia because a team that hasn't played in 7 days, practiced in 7 days, has been in a room for 7 days. I've seen other teams come off pause. And talking with Tom Izzo and talking with Scott Drew and talking with other coaches that have been in extended pauses, talking with Chris Mack. They don't even have any idea of how their teams are going to play coming out of a pause. None whatsoever. So even though maybe they didn't have the virus, just being in that room, and I'm trying to figure out how they're playing. I understand they took separate buses coming back, but they're going to fly in Friday morning or late Thursday night, Friday morning, go to their rooms, two positive negative tests, and go play a basketball game. Basketball's a game of rhythm. Mm. Basketball's a game of being connected. Basketball's a game of trust. Basketball's a game of repetition. If they were able to do that, and I think they can get by Ohio U, but then, you know, here's the question. They haven't run the conditioning. Then 36 hours later, they're going to turn around and play a Creighton team that plays at a fast pace. I think Virginia's good. Are they good enough to beat the team and the virus? Maybe they are.
Yeah. Thanks for the time, as always. Once again, you're the best. Enjoy the week and the weekend. Hopefully we get to catch up with more than one team after the weekend, though, right, Pac?
Yeah, we'll hook up. And, Pac, thanks for the save. You were like Mariano Rivera because I didn't get to that side of the bracket.
Hey.
Down in it. I don't have the specs on.
Yeah, that's all right. Anything for you, Coach. I got your back.
Look at those.
I got your back, unless you're paying off.
Readers, eventually I'm going to break down and get my eyes checked.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. But, you know, other than paying off bets, you've been fantastic.
Well, yeah, I'm going to pay that debt off. I'm going to pay that. I promise. I'm going to pay that debt off.
No, you're not.
You know, Wes, I'm going to make sure it's a time that you can be there.
No, it never happened.
So that, you know, thanks, you can Coach. At least watch him stuff his face.
No, that's it.
I don't know about Brooks. I'll let Brooks get an appetizer.
Enjoy the madness.
Seth Greenberg. See him all weekend.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
All right, 30 minutes of Seth Greenberg leads right into a road trip to Indianapolis, and that's where we go next. Amir Sims from the Clemson Tigers. The boys are up there, ready to roll, getting ready for Rutgers this week. Amir, good morning, man. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm doing good.
All right. Well, first of all, everybody healthy? Everybody good? I mean, I'm sure you're tired of the same four walls, but hey, you're in Indianapolis just like you wanted to be.
Exactly. We're all in good health here. You know, we done had two straight days of negative tests, so we're going to keep it rolling, and we're definitely excited to get out playing. So four walls ain't really nothing to us, but another barrier to overcome.
So what's the next step for you guys? You get the 2 days of negative test. Is this another day inside the hotel room, or is there a little more to it?
It was mainly Monday, and then, you know, half of yesterday we were in our rooms. And then after a while, once we tested negative, we were allowed to meet as a team in our meeting rooms and watch film. And we got a little weight session in, lifting session in, and then had practice shortly after that for a good bit. So it's a little bit more freedom now, but now we're more we have more access to meeting as a team and practicing as a team.
So we got Rutgers coming up, and, you know, you look at the schedules. Hey, everybody beat Purdue? Check. Got it. Beat Maryland? Check. Beat Syracuse? Check. It's kind of weird to look down two schedules and see so many similarities in terms of wins and quality wins. Both teams have had highs. Both teams have had lows. This seems like a really even matchup coming up this week.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely excited. We think it's pretty even, and you know, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to a team who wants it more and who's more willing to fight for the full 40. And the similarities are definitely there, but I definitely think we got the upper hand with our speed and agility and just our length and our depth on our team. So it should be a good battle.
Amir, you've done this before. What's kind of the message to the other guys this week? I mean, you've done this. You know how this works. You've had success in this event. What kind of message are you sending to other guys, younger guys especially?
Honestly, just to have fun, you know, that's the biggest thing with playing sports, period. And I think sometimes it's easy to get away with that with everything that goes on in a sports world. But it's mainly just to have fun, you know, have fun playing with your teammates and enjoying the process and just taking everything in that comes with it and not to get too ahead of yourself. And you just got to take it one game at a time. And that's as simple as it can get. And that's the same thing that, you know, Dante and them guys have, you know, told us. And that's the same thing me and Clyde want to try and reiterate to the younger guys on this team who haven't really, you know, had the success in the postseason as us.
While we sit here and talk about having fun and playing basketball, at the end of the day, the object's to get a degree. Congratulations on the Skip Rosser Award. I know that's something you've worked really, really hard on away from the game to get your degree and do the work on that front, because that's what it's all about. So congratulations on that. Well deserved.
Thank you very much. Honored to have that.
Yeah, no, it's a tremendous honor. I said this at the top today when we first came on the air, when we were talking to folks about you being on the show. Your impact in 4 years at Clemson on and off the floors around the basketball program is fairly significant. Your impact on the campus is also significant. How did that just kind of morph into part of your DNA?
Honestly, I feel as though I've always been that type of kid. You know, I'm a people's person, and I like to interact with people, and, you know, I like making people's day, and that's just something that has always been a part of me. It was the same thing when I went to my high school, when I transferred and coming into Clemson. Mm-hmm. You know, just seeing Dante kind of have that same personality, that big personality with his smile and just his charisma, it was just something that really inspired me to keep doing what I do and keep being the person that I am. And, you know, he's talked to me a lot about, you know, just being myself and playing my game, and everything else would just take care of itself. And that's just something I've always stuck to. And, you know, as you can see, like, that's what's happening amongst, like, the campus and the team and the program. And that's not something that I do for a show, cameras. That's just me as a person. You know, that most of that credit goes to my mom for sure.
I mean, can you believe it's coming to an end? I mean, it goes by quick, doesn't it? I mean, I'm sure there was a time you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm probably overwhelmed by all this stuff. Now, all of a sudden, you look back at it, you go, man, I just got here, right? It goes by so fast.
Definitely. I definitely remember my first day getting to campus. I think it was June 4th, and it was kind of a rainy day. And, you know, now my last few days is definitely coming down the way I want it to be in the postseason. So it definitely goes by fast. You know, me and Clyde still being here after 4 years is just amazing. And the journey we've been on throughout our 4 years is just something that, you know, we'll never forget. And hopefully we've, you know, left a lasting impression on the university for sure.
You know, Amir, it's interesting, too, because you a year ago went through some of the NBA stuff, right? The idea of putting your name in, that kind of thing, and then decided to come back. It looks like that return has paid off a couple different ways for you. What's your feeling as you embark on this postseason now about the idea to come back, have that senior year, be a part of this particular team?
I think it was a great decision, you know. It was definitely a learning curve for me, you know, just getting that knowledge given back to me from, you know, a higher power in the game, and just, you know, getting that feedback of what I need to improve on or what I need to do consistently. And I think I took that to heart, you know, instead of looking at it as a, you know, criticism, I looked at it constructively, and I've tried to apply that to my game, and, you know, also to spread that knowledge to my teammates as well, just to give them a perspective of what people from a higher power is looking at, you know, what they look for in a guy, you know, to play in the next level. And I definitely think I benefit from it because, you know, I think I've tried to take what they told me, you know, and apply it to the court. And I think I have, and definitely at times, and I've been more consistent this year. And that was something that they've mentioned, you know, just doing interviews and stuff like that. So I definitely think it was beneficial, and it definitely pushed me to, you know, perform better throughout this year consistently. Mm.
Amir, this team has 8 wins against teams that are currently in the NCAA tournament. That's more than any other team in the ACC. You're a 7 seed by the selection committee. Not that that number means anything now because you're in the dance and it doesn't matter what the number is, you got to go to play. But do you get a sense that this team could go on a crazy run in the tournament, that folks are sleeping on Clemson?
Oh, most definitely. You know, people sleeping on us is not anything new. I think, you know, we've proven throughout the season that team we could be offensively and defensively when need be. And we definitely had our dips, and it might have been a big dip, but I think when we came back from that, we went right back to showing people that we can guard, we can defend no matter how big you are. And that's the thing people try to overlook is our size, but it's not about your size, it's about your heart, and I think we display that night in and night out most games. So hopefully, you know, we don't turn the switch off because, you know, that's just human nature sometimes to do that. But I definitely think we can make a run here, you know, go as far as we can. You got to win 6 games. You're going to take it 1 game at a time.
All right, Amir, we've had some fun with Coach Brownell on this show. We've had more fun when he gives Packer down the road about making contributions to IPTE to help improve basketball because we're looking for, you know, wealthy alums to help the basketball program. What's playing for Brad Brownell been like? I mean, what the mentorship, the friendship, the relationship he has with players, it looks like it's something, A, that you valued very much, but also it's impacted this program in a way that I'm not sure he's gotten his full credit on this.
Oh, yeah. He definitely has to get all the credit he deserves. You know, Coach Barnell is an unbelievable coach. You know, when it comes to X's and O's, he could draw something up in 2 seconds and you just go out there and execute it. And it's like, wow, like he just really drew that up. But he's a great guy, too. You know, he definitely he's a basketball guy. So sometimes it's hard to get him away from that atmosphere because that's all he's thinking about 24/7. I don't think he sleeps because all he thinks about is basketball. And, you know, when you take time to actually get to know him and he gets to know you, you know, he's a great guy. He's very funny. He can joke with you. You know, he's usually like straight faced all the time. But when you give him time and give him time to lighten up, he's a pretty funny guy. And he does a great job, you know, representing our program and our university. And, you know, just trying to draw guys to the program and just get them to understand the importance of what Clemson basketball is and what it can be. You know, that definitely inspires a lot of guys like myself to embody that system and take our program to the next level. So Coach Barnell is a great guy, and I've really enjoyed the friendship. And then for, I like to say a term as a four-lifer that, you know, he'll be for the rest of my life. I'll always have that connection.
That's good to hear. By the way, speaking of having fun, I know this is a business trip. I know we're going through COVID protocols, the testing. You got to stay safe and healthy. I get all that. You'll lift some weights if you can. You'll study tape. But how do you have fun given the conditions this week where everybody is locked and loaded? So, I mean, how do you just kind of let loose and just let your mind run free a little bit? What do you do?
Me personally, I had tweeted actually that I'm a homebody, so me being in my room is all the fun I need. But just talking to your teammates at dinner and breakfast or in between practices or weights, that's the time to really kind of loosen up and just remember to have fun. And you can always find ways to have fun. There's never a time where you got to be serious to the point that you can't smile. And that's the easiest thing to do. You know, smiling is contagious. And I think when people see me smile or any of my teammates joking and smiling, even if they are trying to be locked in, it still reminds you just to have fun while doing the thing that you love to do.
Wow. I'll tell you this. You have been an unbelievable player for Clemson, but also just an unbelievable impact on athletics and Clemson University as a whole. Always great to have you on the show. Appreciate it. Stay well. Stay a long time, right? Hope you can stay there about 3 weeks, right?
Hopefully. Stay as long as we can. Thank you guys for having me.
You got it, Amir. Best of luck.
You bet. Amir Sims. You bet. From Clemson. And they don't get much better than that, Pac.
Class act. And on top of it, like I said, that's why I brought up the Skip Prosser Award. From an academic standpoint, he's a great representative of what a student athlete's supposed to be. Has the fun, stayed all 4 years, loves his teammates, loves his coach, loves his school. It's what it's all about right there. Perfect snapshot.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a very interesting Wednesday. Learned a little bit about everything. Especially Greenberg thinks only one ACC team going to reach the Sweet 16. I wrote it down in ink. That will be readdressed next week. Promise you.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks to Coach. Thanks to Amir Sims. Quint Kasnick was fantastic from St. Louis.
Yep.
NCAA Wrestling Championships start Thursday on ESPNU. Todd Stansberry, Jordan Cornette live from Indianapolis. All that was good, wasn't it?
Yep, excellent. Smart people doing another great job by the folks in Bristol.
Yep. How about an on this date, March 17th, 1990? Tell me if this sounds familiar. 8th seed North Carolina upsets number 1 Oklahoma on a drive along the right baseline and a leaner from Rick Fox. Pack?
I remember watching it. Hard to believe that was, 31 years ago. Goodness gracious.
Yep.
Like those there unis? By the way, you like those unis, Wes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the old school.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Fox, by the way, long NBA career. Got into acting, I think, appeared on The Wire at one point.
TV star.
Still is into acting, I think.
Yep, TV star. Yeah.
So,
like Chester and Fuller.
We're drawing script lines on games. That anniversary, North Carolina sitting there in an 8-9 game against Wisconsin this week, Pac. Then you would have Baylor, prohibitive favorite, out of the same league as the one seed if Carolina were to beat Wisconsin.
Well,
just saying.
Wes, don't get too excited because BPI has Wisconsin as a favorite. And you know they're never wrong.
I know.
Never wrong,
that's
BPI.
Yeah. So, anniversary of Rick Fox's buzzer beater to help Carolina beat Oklahoma at the Irwin Center in Austin, Texas, by the way. Congratulations to one of our own here on ACC Network. LaChyna Robinson has been honored by the Women's Basketball Coaches Association with the 2021 Mel Greenberg Media Award that's presented annually to a member of the media or sports communications who has displayed a commitment to women's basketball and to advancing the role of the media in the women's game. And she has done all that and then some. Not only does a phenomenal job on games and studio ops, but has now crafted a podcast, among other things. And our congratulations to Wake Forest alum and ACC Network colleague LaChyna Robinson. Great, great honor for her, and fun to see and well-deserved.
That award will go right beside her brand spanking new Wake Forest Demon Deacon top hat, which looks just like this.
Yep.
Looks just like that one. So she's a wonderful lady. Very talented.
Does it? Yeah.
Well-deserved.
The news from around the ACC. NC State, the golf program, has won the General Hackler Championship. How about that? I just, when I saw that, I thought, you know what we talked about? But if you win the General Hackler Collegiate Golf Championship, I'm all in, Pac.
Now,
I'm all in. I don't know about General Hackler, but I'm there.
I am curious because I did see this yesterday, mm-hmm. and I didn't look it up, and I should have. But General Hackler, do we know anything about General Hackler? Because, I mean, that's the first thing that pops in my head is General Hackler. Do we know who or what General Hackler is?
I don't think so, but I know it's played at the Dunes Golf and Beach Club, which, as you know, is adequate.
Oh, the Dunes is nice. I've done the old Dunes Club thing long, long time ago.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm still waiting on that invite from Augusta, in case anybody's interested. Just waiting for the phone to ring.
I feel confident somebody let us know who General Hackler is.
Here it is. Here it is. I'm looking at it right now. Was a major general in the United States Air Force, a pioneer of the Grand Strand's golf industry, and longtime supporter of Coastal Carolina University. You want to know who General Hackler is?
There you go.
General Hackler.
There you go. That's all we need.
Know. There you go.
And Max Steinlechner, by the way, led NC State with a fourth place finish overall. Wolfpack won the team title.
I'm going to tell you something. The golf in this league, I know we brag about all the sports, and we're going to give golf some love because I know it's right down your alley, Mr. Durham. But the men's and women's golf teams in this conference are unbelievable. I mean, unbelievably
pretty
good. Great talent.
Robbie Martin hit a couple of home runs last night. Florida State a winner over Florida in baseball.
Hey,
final was 10-2.
You think Florida might want to get the ACC off their schedule? I mean, Miami went up there and christened that brand new stadium they've got there in Gainesville and said, "That's really cute. Here's 2 out of 3. We'll catch you later."
Yep.
And now the Noles, Danny Cannell be happy about this one. Now the Noles are beating the Gators. So what? You know, just saying. Tell you what though, these two leagues.
So
when you go check out a baseball top 25, just go ahead and scratch out every time you see an ACC or an SEC team and see what you got left. There won't be much left. These two leagues are really good.
Florida State has 7 teams in the top 7. Now, we were talking about North Carolina with 5 number ones.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State has 7 in the top 7, including number 1 beach volleyball, which is one of Packer's emerging sports.
I have tried, my goal is to get beach volleyball across the board in the ACC. We could be a dominant league. Forget Bill Walton and the Conference of Champions. We could take care of business. Beach volleyball in the ACC.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.